Good afternoon, everybody. We are now convening the Senate Health and Social Services Committee. Call to order. The time is 1:30, 1 and a half. Eventually, we're going to start on time. February 1st, 2016. Members today that are present is Senator Geusel, Senator Stoltz, Senator Ellis, and myself, Stedman. We do have a quorum to conduct business. There are several bills on the agenda today. Under bills previously heard, Senate Bill 72, Designated Caregiver for Patients, Senate Bill 145, Daycare Assistance and Child Care Grants, House Bill 147, Senior Benefits Program Eligibility, Senate Bill 98, Prescriptions Without Physical Exams, Senate Bill 55, Optometry and Optometrists. First hearings, after we do the bills previously heard, we're going to have two first hearings. Senate Bill 124, Extend Sunset for Alaska Commission on Aging, Senate Bill 151, Registry, License, Background Checks, Department of Health and Social Services. Under bills previously heard, first up, Senate Bill 72, an act relating to caregivers of patients after release or departure from a hospital and providing for an effective date. Senate Bill 72 was previously heard on the 10th of April, 2015. Senator Geusel, would you quickly review the bill, because we do have a CS just to help the audience come up to speed.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill would improve the coordination with designated caregivers for post-discharge health outcomes for patients, providing training for those caregivers, enabling older or disabled Alaskans to stay safely in their homes for much longer. We do have a committee substitute that is based on some changes that are happening nationwide. Last year when we heard the bill, there were only four states that had enacted this type of legislation. Today there are 14. So it is a concept that is moving forward. The federal government is about to enact some rulings that would implement a lot of this, and so this would prepare hospitals in our state for this kind of education for caregivers.
Senator Geusel, do you have a CS?
Mr. Chairman, I move the CS for Senate Bill number 72, version 29, LS0047/Frank, before this committee.
I'll object for explanation. Senator Geusel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So just in general, many family caregivers report that they have little or no training to perform the tasks of caring for their loved ones after they go home from the hospital. And so this bill would outline some guidelines for hospitals. It is modified from last year in that it is broader. Last year we had some details in it that weren't really necessary. So the bill would allow the patient to name a lay caregiver, be notified when that patient is being discharged so the caregiver is prepared. The hospital then would offer training to the caregiver and also maintain some written discharge policies. So that's really briefly the changes made to the bill that makes it simply more broad and leaves it more in the hands of the hospitals.
Any committee members have a question on the CS? Seeing no further questions on the CS, I'll remove my objection to the adoption of the CS. Any further objection to the adoption of the CS? Seeing no further objection, adoption from the CS version F is now our working document in front of the committee. Do we have any further discussion from the bill sponsor?
No, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
What's the will of the committee?
Mr. Chairman, I move the CS for Senate Bill 72, version 29, LS0047/Frank, from this committee to the next with individual recommendations and attached zero fiscal note.
We have a motion to move the bill from committee, the CS from committee, version F, with individual recommendations, attached fiscal notes. Do we have objection? Seeing none, we'll move the bill from the committee to the next committee referral. Next up, Senate Bill 145, an act relating to the recovery of overpayments of daycare assistance and child care grants and providing for an effective date. Senate Bill 145 was previously heard on the January 27, 2016. We have representation, I think, here. Sean O'Brien, if you can come forward, please. Director of Public Assistance, if you could briefly highlight the bill to the committee, what it is after you introduce yourself, for the record and who you represent.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Sean O'Brien, pardon me, and I am the Director for the Division of Public Assistance with the Department of Health and Social Services. And as an overview, this is a bill that allows our child care assistance program to recover overpayments of daycare assistance and child care grants through the garnishment of the permanent fund dividend, which again is consistent with similar practice we have through the division and the collections process.
Okay, we'll come back to the committee. We've had, is there any further discussion, concerns from community members? Seeing none, the will of the committee.
Mr. Chairman, I move Senate Bill number 145, version 29GS2769/alpha from this committee with individual recommendations and attached zero fiscal note.
We have a motion to move the bill from committee with attached fiscal notes and individual recommendations. Do we have objection? Seeing none, we'll move the bill from committee. I'd like to take note that this is version A, and this, I think this was the first bill you presented to the legislature. No, that'll probably be the last bill you get out with version A on the committee. You know, go on.
Mr. Chair, I appreciate your sense of humor. I really do.
Next up. Yes.
I just want to comment. I'm not sure that they wowed us more than they wore us down.
Hey, next up, Senate Bill 147, an act relating to the eligibility requirements of the Alaska Senior Benefits Payment Program and providing for an effective date. Senate Bill 147 was previously heard on the 27th of January, 2016. Mr. Bryan, Director of Public Assistance, is available to give us a brief introduction of the bill again as a reminder. Mr. Bryan, if you can introduce yourself for the record and who you represent and speak to the bill, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Sean O'Brien. I'm the Division of Public Assistance Director for the Department of Health and Social Services. And this bill, Senate Bill number 147, will allow, in terms of our senior benefits program, it will allow us, it will allow us to basically create a situation where we will become more basically compliant and consistent with the application of how we are using and relying upon our definition of citizen of the United States or qualified alien as part of the eligibility requirements for senior benefits program. I would like to add, we literally just caught one little federal citation that was left out about an hour ago, and I'm referencing specifically to Section 1, Line 10. Currently, you'll see on that line, it references one federal citation law, USC 1641. It should also read, and USC 1613. And 1613 specifically ties in with the five-year requirement known as the five-year bar, and we did not note that until it was brought to our attention, and my apologies for that.
Thank you. Okay. We'll come back to the committee. If we could have an amendment, please.
Mr. Chairman, I move an amendment for Senate Bill 147, adding to line 10, page 1, following USC 1641, the words and USC 1613.
Thank you. We have an amendment. Do we have any questions on the amendment? I'll object to the amendment for discussion. Any questions on the amendment? None. I'll remove my objection to the amendment. Any further objection to the amendment? Seeing none, the amendment is adopted. Back to the committee. What's the will of the committee with the amended bill?
Mr. Chairman, I move Senate Bill number 147, version 29GS2770/alpha as amended from this committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
We have a motion to move the bill from committee as amended with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes. Do we have objection? Seeing none, we'll move the bill from committee, the next committee referral. Next up, Senate Bill 98, an act relating to diagnosis, treatment, and prescription of drugs without a physical examination. Senate Bill 98 was previously heard on the 13th of April 2015 and January 27, 2016. The bill was amended in January 27, 2016. There is a CS, version W. May we have a motion?
Mr. Chairman, brief at ease.
We'll have a brief at ease.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move adoption of CS SB 98, version W, in front of the committee.
I will object for discussion, and we'll have the bill represented from the bill sponsor here. If you can introduce yourself for the record and who you represent, and speak to the amended or version W of the CS, please.
Yes, thank you, Chairman Stedman. My name is Chuck Kopp, staff to Senator Peter Michicki, the bill sponsor. The CS in front of the committee draws in four boards to the practice of telehealth: the Licensed Professional Counseling Board, the Merrill and Family Therapist Board, Psychologists and Psychological Associates Board, and the Board of Social Work Examiners, expanding the same practice of telehealth in those regulated bodies as we would physicians under the original bill. The bill sponsor completely supports the amended language, and we do have a recent letter of support from the Marital Family Therapist Board that just came in that was forwarded to the committee.
I'll go ahead and remove my objection to the adoption of the amendment we have, or the CS. Do we have any further objection to the adoption of the CS? Seeing none, we'll adopt working version W back as a working document. We'll come back to the committee. We have any questions on the CS? Roll of the committee, please.
Mr. Chairman, I move the CS for Senate Bill 98, version 29LS0838/W-Whiskey from this committee to the next with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
And we have a motion to move the CS version W from the committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes. Do we have objection? Seeing none, we'll move the bill to the next committee referral. Next up, Senate Bill 55, an act relating to the practice of optometry. Senate Bill 55 was previously heard on March 18, 2015. Senator Giesel, could you please tell the committee a brief synopsis of the bill because of it was back in March? And
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate Bill 55 modernizes and updates the Alaska optometry statutes. These are approximately 40 years old. They continue to place continuing education in the statute, but the hours and subjects will be determined by the Board of Optometry, just like it's done with other professional boards. The current regulations require more continuing education for optometrists than the statutory requirement. So this will update this this requirement to actually be more robust. It allows the board to determine the prescription drug schedules that will be enacted. We're anticipating some federal regulations that could possibly be changing this in the future, so regulatory oversight of that is more nimble. And the bill continues to specifically prohibit invasive surgery. This does not allow optometrists to perform any kind of invasive surgery, as is in the what is currently in the realm of ophthalmology. That is the physician who would do the invasive procedures. So this basically just updates the statutes to recognize the full scope of practice for optometry.
Thank you. We have any further questions, concerns from committee members? Senator Stoltz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I appreciate the sponsor bringing this bill forward, and this is one of the bills. It's a policy issue. It gets mired in politics. It's over the past quarter century, the optometrist issue and the ophthalmologist fights have been kind of legendary around here, and it kind of clouds the real issues. And the optometrists are a profession that deliver their resources all through Alaska, and it's an health access issue. my concern in support of this bill, and it gets labeled as other things. For disclosure, I use an optometrist, and I don't know if I have an ophthalmologist that lives in my district, and I have a fairly urban to suburban district, and it's a malapportionment of available resources. I know my ophthalmologist, sometimes he's not available because he's outreaching in rural Alaska. It gets defined in the process as a turf war between professions. It really is an access bill, and it's consistent with the types of issues the sponsor carries on better health access. And I'm not trying to overly debate the bill, but it's one that gets it will be debated, and there's certainly a lot of the paid advocates on both sides that are pushing it. But that's really irrelevant. It really boils down to it is an access and availability issue of quality health care to more Alaskans. So we have not just a shortage of many professions, but a malapportion of where they're located. And optometrists are readily willing to take their services all over Alaska. And I know you appreciate brevity, but on this issue, I depart from my lack of comments on the other bills. So
any other comments, concerns on the bill? Senator Stoltz, we have a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move, forget the number of the bill.
55.
Pardon?
55.
I move that Senate Bill 55 be moved from, as the committee has amended it through the CS, be moved out of committee with individual recommendations and the attached fiscal notes.
We have a motion on the table to move Senate Bill 55, there's no CS, Senate Bill 55 from committee, individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes. Do we have objection? Seeing none, we'll move this bill from the committee to the next committee referral.
That was a safety thing, remember, for what we did last year.
That's fine. Next up, we're going to go into first hearings. Some of the senators have other duties calling them in the building, so they'll be coming and going through these first hearings. Don't let that interrupt the first hearings. We all have staff, and it's all recorded. So, okay. We have two more bills in the workload today. Senate Bill 124, an act extending the termination date of the Alaska Commission on Aging and providing for an effective date. Senator Stoltz will introduce the bill because he's all warmed up from the previous one. Senator Stoltz.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, with the chairman's permission, I'd like to invite Mr. George to come so he's available as needed. The bill is fairly straightforward. It is a sunset extension of a bill that's been around for 30-plus years. It's been through the process in various different names over the years, but it has the same mission, serving a growing population of Alaska. We have an acute sensitivity in the valley, have the largest, fastest-growing senior population in Alaska. It's been dubbed the Silver Tsunami, and those of us in the valley have an acute awareness of the growing need of senior issues. The apparatus allowed through this bill makes us eligible for federal grants for senior Alaskans, and everything from nutrition grants to other aid. I think it performs sensitive to all commissions that we review. I think the audit recommendations were fairly straightforward. It should be reviewed, and a couple of the advocacy issues internally that that Ms. Curtis and her agency pointed out have been acknowledged and are in the process and have been addressed. So I think our audit process was fairly comprehensive, and I think it yielded the results. So I don't know if I need to have staff come forward.
No, this is just a simple extension bill to 2024, June 30th. Do we have any questions, concerns initially from the committee? Let's go to the public hearing portion. I'll have a brief Eddie's. Back on the record, we're going to go to the public hearing portion. We'll go to the off-net. Looks like we have sign up from Rachel Greenberg, if she can introduce herself for the record, who she represents, and speak to the bill, please.
Yeah, well, thank you very much, Senator Stedman, Chair. My name is Rachel Greenberg. I'm the Executive Director of MATSU Senior Services, and also for full disclosure, I also sit on the Commission on Aging in the Provider Seat, and I'm also Vice President of AgeNet and the MATSU Council on Aging. So we just have all collaborated together, and we urge passage of this sunset bill to extend the Commission on Aging until 2024. And the Commission on Aging, as you heard from Senator Stoltz, really allows the state to access funds through the Older Americans Act. And I know that there's a whole more details that hopefully Denise Daniello, our executive director of the Commission on Aging, will be able to provide. So I urge passage. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next up, David Levy. If you could introduce himself for the record, who he represents, and speak to the bill, please.
Yes. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of Senate Health Committee, ladies and gentlemen. My name is David Levy, and I'm Senior Services Coordinator for the Municipality of Anchorage. I also provide staff support for the Anchorage Senior Advisory Commission. Like the previous speaker, I am speaking in favor of the reauthorization of ACOA. They have been a wonderful partner, not only here in Anchorage, but throughout the state, in identifying and supporting senior issues. As has been discussed earlier, Alaska has one of the fastest growing senior populations in the country, so it is critical the role that ACOA provides my organization as well as other groups around the state in providing relevant and important information about senior issues. So we strongly endorse the reauthorization of ACOA.
Thank you. That concludes our off-net. LIO will come into the room. We're going to do reverse order. Marie Dolan. Good to see you again. If you can introduce yourself for the record, who you represent, speak to the bill, please.
My name is Marie Dolan, and I am representing AARP today as their legislative advocate. And we are here in full support of this reauthorization of the Commission on Aging. We work extensively with them on a lot of the projects that we have, which, of course, tie in exactly with the Alaska Commission on Aging. And therefore, we do support the reauthorization of the bill and know that I'm also, I should say, a member of the Alaska Commission on Aging, as was Rachel before me. So this is just to say that we do think that it provides a great service to the state of Alaska, plus being something that is a requirement in order for us to have the federal funds which we get.
Okay.
So with that, I'd say AARP fully supports this reauthorization.
Okay, thank you for your testimony. Denise Daniels, come on up. I've seen you ladies here before. That's okay. We would be miffed if you ladies didn't show up. You can introduce yourself for the record and who you represent and speak to the bill, please.
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon, Chair Stedman and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Denise Daniello, Executive Director for the Alaska Commission on Aging, and it's my honor to testify in support of Senate Bill 124 to extend the commission for an additional 8 years. And we really want to thank Senator Stoltz for introducing this legislation for the commission as well as for older Alaskans. So for my part of this testimony, I'd like to provide a little backup information about the Commission on Aging. As you may know, we've been in place since 1981. Originally, we started as the Older Alaskans Commission, so we've been around for 34 years. The commission strives to provide a voice to ensure the dignity and independence of all older Alaskans, to make sure that they are able to live with meaningful lives through planning, advocacy, education, interagency, cooperation. The Commission works very closely with the Division of Senior and Disability Services in assisting the Department of Health and Social Services to carry out its duties as the state agency on aging. And in Alaska, Governor Walker has designated the Department of Health and Social Services as that agency. So the Division of Senior Disability Services administers the funding, the federal funding and the state funding for a variety of senior programs and services. The Commission takes responsibility in developing the comprehensive state plan for senior services and performing advocacy, education, and outreach on behalf of seniors. So our senior population is growing, and it should be no surprise. Currently, there are 120,444 people aged 60 years of age and older, and that's a 4.2% increase from last year, or an addition of 4,902 people. So we believe that the work of the Commission is now more important than ever as our senior population continues to grow. I just want to take a couple of minutes to provide some information regarding how the Commission satisfies the requirements in our statute. First of all, we are asked to formulate a comprehensive state plan for senior services. And since our last reauthorization in 2008, we have completed three state plans for senior services. And this is to satisfy the federal requirement of all states that receive federal funds through the Older Americans Act. We also prepare a senior snapshot, which is published in our annual report, and that provides a lot of information about senior programs, senior demographics, as well as indicators having to do with health, housing, and economic security. We also work closely with the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority. We are a statutory mandated advisory board to the trust to advise the trust about the needs of people with Alzheimer's disease and related dementias. And so last year, we published in collaboration with the trust and the Department of Health and Social Services and Alaska Alzheimer's Resource Agency, the roadmap to address Alzheimer's disease and related dementia. And the implementation of the roadmap is underway. We make recommendations directly to the governor and to the legislature regarding legislation, regulations, and appropriations for programs and services. Since our last reauthorization, the Commission advocated successfully for the creation of the Medicaid Adult Dental Program, establishment and reauthorization of the Alaska Senior Benefits Program, and creation of the statewide alert system for missing vulnerable adults, which is also known as the Silver Alert. And also advocated for several bills to strengthen protection of vulnerable Alaskans. So we are pleased to be here today. We have made a lot of efforts in recent years to recognize the issues that face Alaska seniors today with regards to brain health, Alzheimer's disease, senior housing, senior fall prevention, and calling attention to the fact that seniors do represent a $3 billion industry for the state, and that Alaska seniors really appreciate the programs and services that they receive through the state that allow them to age in place in Alaska. And Alaska benefits from the social and economic resources that seniors provide. So we thank you for your consideration of Senate Bill 72, and I'm available for questions.
Keeping up with the form of the chairman and his other roles in past legislature, I continue to mispronounce her last name.
Yes.
Daniela.
Daniela, yes.
I think I've mispronounced it every year that you've come here, and I'm keeping true form. Eventually, I'll get it right.
It's okay, Senator Stedman.
Anyway, it's almost kind of humorous at this point because it's gone on for years. And sometimes there's several testimonies throughout the year. But anyway, we appreciate your testimony today. And we have one more on the sign-up list. This is Chris Curtis.
Good Hello, for the record, my name is Chris Curtis. I represent the Division of Legislative Audit, and we did conduct a sunset review. It's been summarized. Basically, that we concluded that the commission is serving the public's interest. We recommend extending it the maximum 8 years. We did have two small recommendations, one to improve public noticing of the meetings and one to ensure a review of the distribution, legislative distribution lists. And I'm here for any questions about the audit.
Do we have any questions from the committee? Seeing none, thank you for your time. That concludes the sign-up. People in the room, is there anybody else that didn't sign up that wants to come speak to the bill? Seeing none, we'll come back to the bill sponsor. Any final comments before we set this bill aside? Senator Stoltz.
Thanks for the airing. There were a lot more Alaskans that have been interested in this, and they opted for quality over quantity in their testimony.
I'm going to go ahead and set this bill aside for the review. I would be surprised if there's any negative feedback coming from it, so I would expect this bill to come up at the next scheduled hearing of this committee to look to the will of the committee. We'll set this bill aside for further review. Next up, last item of business on the agenda today, Senate Bill 151, an act relating to criminal and civil history requirements for individuals and entities licensed or certified by the Department of Health and Social Services relating to the centralized registry of certain individuals or entities that are licensed or certified by the Department of Health and Social Services or are eligible to receive payments from certain programs of the department and providing for an effective date. We have Chief Assistant Attorney General Stacey Crayley, if she can come forward to present the bill, please.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Stacey Crayley. I'm a Chief Assistant Attorney General with the Department of Law, and on the phone with me today is Jane Urbanovsky, Certification and Licensing Administrator with the Division of Healthcare Services. Will present and answer any questions of the committee. Mr. Chairman and the committee, thank you for the opportunity to appear before you today and speak to Senate Bill 151. To provide some historical context to this bill, in 2005, the legislature debated and passed Senate Bill 125, an omnibus licensing bill which created Alaska Statute 47.32, which essentially centralized all of the licensing functions in the Alaska statutes under one central statutory scheme. In addition to creating the centralized licensing statutes, that bill, Senate Bill 121, also established a new article under AS 4705 related to criminal history and registry provisions, which can be found, the span site is 4705310 through 4705390. The initial impetus of the central registry provision and the criminal background provisions was to participate in a federal grant related to background checks for persons who were providing long-term care within the state of Alaska, but there was also an independent desire within the administration at that time to centralize and formalize the process by which the Department of Health and Social Services conducted criminal background checks for entities and individuals who become licensed providers or who are paid to provide services such as personal care attendants or Medicaid providers. A second component of the process, in addition to the criminal background check, was to create a centralized registry provision so the DHSS, the Department of Health and Social Services, could rely on certain civil findings to bar persons from, again, owning, operating, and or being an administrator or being a paid provider under DHSS programs. Over the past 10 years, the system has worked very well, but like any program, certain issues, gaps, and overlaps have been identified within the current statutes. These issues have come to the attention of the Department of Law and the Department of Health and Social Services through litigation, administrative hearings, and in providing day-to-day advice on how to interpret the statutes and how to apply them. A very simple example of one of these issues we're trying to fix is that under the original bill, there's a provision under the centralized registry that requires a bar for Medicaid fraud. The difficulty with that is that under Medicaid fraud is a crime, so it should be under the criminal history check rather than the civil history check. So these are the type of fixes we've promoted or promulgated in these amendments. Thus, in the effort to be efficient, back in 2005, we did not anticipate some of the issues that would arise in the operationalizing this statute. The changes in this bill are proposed to streamline the statute and to provide and improve proper application and fairness under the existing system going forward. I have prepared a sectional analysis for the bill that I'm happy to walk through, and I'm available, along with Ms. Urbanovsky, to answer any questions the committee may have.
You can go through the sectional, please.
Sure. So I think everybody has a copy of the sectional analysis. Okay. Section 1, page 1, amends 4462.330 to clarify the jurisdiction of the Office of Administrative Hearings with related to matters coming up for variances and reconsideration under this program. Section 2, which can be found on pages 1 through 4 of the bill.
Senator
just, I guess, for the layperson, you explain what variances and reconsideration means.
Sure. Through the chair, Senator Stoltz, a variance or reconsideration is a component of the statute, and it's always been part of the system that allows an individual who has a barring condition or has been identified as having a barring condition can petition the department for a variance or reconsideration on that barring condition to explain that what happened during this event should not preclude them from being a paid provider. So the department has a very robust variance committee process, and if the committee decides to grant a variance, then the individual can be authorized to provide services or be an assisted living home operator or whatever the case may be. And if we deny the variance, then they should have the right to an appeal that decision, and that appeal would go to the Office of Administrative Hearings.
Okay. Go ahead and continue.
Thank you. Again, Section 2 on pages 1 through 4 of the bill. This is a repeal and reenactment of 4705.310, which is the criminal history check under the current bill. And what this does is it removes substantive references to the centralized registry. There's some inconsistencies or overlaps within the statute, and this repeal and readopt takes care of those. It clarifies that individuals, not entities, can seek a criminal background check and a central registry check. Under the current bill, under the current statute, only entities, so like an assisted living home operator, can request a check for an individual. We want individuals to be able to check on their own. So that's Section 2. Section 3 of the bill amends and adds a new statute to the bill, 4705.320, which now will create a mirroring statute for the central registry or the civil checks for the criminal history checks, so they mirror each other rather than be, as they are right now, a little muddled and confusing. We have two mirrored statutes, one for criminal actions, one for civil actions. This statute would clarify what types of civil findings would constitute a bar and provide that only those bars that have been subject to due process would be added to or would be subject to a barring condition. It also adds the provision that substantiations, which are an action taken by the Office of Children's Services and potentially Adult Protective Services, would constitute a civil bar. Further, the revisions make just technical corrections and make the statute much more readable and streamlined than what currently exists. Section 4 of the bill, page 6, repeals and reenacts 4705.330, which is to provide for the creation of what's called a centralized registry. The current statute kind of melds the centralized registry in with the civil registry check, which is very confusing. So this creates a standalone statute for the centralized registry. So it's a separate statutory provision than being included within the civil check portion of the bill. Section 5 on page 7 addresses the immunity provisions that exist in the bill, and it allows for an individual who uses it limits the use of the information for appropriate purposes. So if you get information from a criminal background check, you have to use it for purposes of determining employment or services, and not that you can take that information and share it with other folks. But it also provides a good faith immunity provision for providers who take that information and rely upon it. So that clarifies that provision that already exists in statute. Section 6 on page 7 adds a new section to 4705.360, indicating how this goes to the question of Senator Stoltz provides a very clear understanding that if you receive a notice from the department that there is a problem or you have there's a mistake in your notice, you can ask that that mistake be fixed. And it also provides a clear understanding that individuals who receive a barring notice have the ability to seek a reconsideration or variance for that finding and what that process would be, and then also that there's an appeal right to the administrative OAH, Office of Administrative Hearings. Section 7 on page 7 amends the definition of entity under this chapter to make it consistent with other provisions of the Title 47. Section 8 of the bill amends Alaska Statute 4717040, and that is a statute under the that relates to the work of the Office of Children's Services. One of the confusing parts of the current situation is there's a central registry under 4705 and there's a central registry under 4717. This changes the name of the registry that the Office of Children's Services used to rename it to the Child Protection Registry and make sure there's no overlap and confusion about which registry we're talking about. Section 9 of the bill amends AS 4717040, which again goes back to the Child Protection Registry, to talk about notice and opportunities for appeal related to substantiations and other matters that are placed on the Child Protection Registry, and also adds additional definitions. Section 10 on page 8 amends AS 4732070, which allows the department to consider licensing history in evaluating whether or not a license should be granted or denied or whether or not to place a condition on a license. This was a gap that was identified over the past 10 years in the licensing statutes. Section 11 on page 8 and 9 amends 4732090, which allows the department, again, this was an overlap or a gap in the current statute, allows the department to actually investigate an employee of a licensed entity. The way the statute is currently drafted, we get to investigate entities. Sometimes the entities aren't the problem, it's an employee, and we're not able to basically challenge or investigate an individual employee without penalizing the provider, and we want to make that distinction. Section 12 on page 9 amends 4732150B, which allows a person to appeal, creates that a fine that is issued through a licensing action is also an enforcement action, which allows for an individual to have the right to appeal that. Section 13 on page 9 amends 4732180. This clarifies that when there is a situation, and some of you may recall over the past few months, serious events happening in an assisted living home. We want to be very clear that if there is a joint investigation between licensing and a law enforcement agency, that we're able to share information without any difficulty. The statute is not clear on that. We want that language clarified so that we can share information in a joint investigation with law enforcement. Section 14 on page 9 is again a change that is required as a result of reorganization and other things that had happened in DHSS. Currently, the bill says that the agencies within the Division of Public Health and Public Assistance can share information. Licensing no longer is housed within Public Health and Public Assistance exclusively. They're spread across other divisions, and what this says is that all divisions should be able to cooperate with each other in sharing information so that the investigations can be properly conducted. Section 15 repeals an unused definition and corrects issues related to plans of correction as an enforcement action that arose during some litigation. Section 16 on page 10 is provides for an applicability section for matters that arise before or civil conduct that occurred before or after the effective date of this bill. Section 17 is an instruction for the reviser regarding changes to headings, and Section 18 provides for an immediate effective date.
Okay. Thank you. Do we have any initial questions on the bill from committee members? Senator Stoltz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Crealy, is it only a bar if the person is convicted or adjudicated by a reason of insanity? Is that the only bar for licensure?
Through the chair, Senator Stoll, I'm sorry. No, actually, the statute does contemplate that if you have been charged with convicted, so there, if you've been charged with the crime, there's a time period whereby we want to make sure that you maybe in certain circumstances don't have access to an individual, but a conviction is the benchmark. So if you are charged with a crime of, say, assault in the first degree, but you plead down to assault you're charged with assault in the first degree, but you plead to assault in the third degree, and that's what you're convicted of, then that's what the bar is based on, what you're convicted of. So there's a time period when you've been charged that the regulations in the statute contemplate that we make sure that everybody's safe, but it's based upon convictions.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, just to follow up.
Go ahead.
So only on convictions. So if an individual, Mr. Chairman, had, say, 20 incidences of domestic violence, but none of them had, which is not an uncommon situation, or domestic violence orders, 20 of them in a row over a period, that would not be a factor if none of them had ever been taken to a conviction or full charges?
Through the chair, Senator Stoltz, as to the actual barring condition, that would be correct, but I will note that under the current regulatory scheme for daycare providers and foster care providers, there's what we would call a good judgment standard, which would allow the department to make decisions based upon that sort of history to assure that individuals were appropriately licensed and caring for individuals.
Just one quick follow-up. And so I just want to know if there's a fiscal note on this. A lot of individuals do the reporting. We have something called court views where the charges are listed on there. I assume that's pending to the governor for signature. How would passage of that change this if there's good judgment standards? I know it's a lot easier to plug onto your internet and get a court views than it is to go to the courthouse and do the. If you're not trained in the legal background, it's not always easy to navigate. I assume that's the same for a state employee. Instead of looking on the computer and having to go to the courthouse or engage somebody, does that add fiscal impact? I'm trying to figure this one out the bill's not law yet, but I assume it will be.
Through the chair, Senator Stoltz, you ask a very good question in how the interplay of that specific legislation will impact the operation of the Department of Health and Social Services. To be perfectly frank, remains to be seen. I know there are different mechanisms by which the court system was talking about having access for certain purposes, such as for licensing, so that information would be available. We're still trying to figure that out. But it could create an issue, but a lot of these individuals would go through the system for licensing and other purposes, and those charges would actually be identified for purposes of a criminal justice agency, which DHS is under this statute. So that information would be available, although it would not be a barring condition. It would be information that would be available.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any further questions from the committee before we... Thank you.
Thank you.
Presentation B. We have no one signed up to testify in the off-net, no one in the LIO, nobody in the room. So we'll come back. I don't see anybody waving their hands furiously and forgot to sign up on the sheet, so we'll come back to the bill sponsor.
That's you.
For any final comments to the bill sponsor before we set this bill aside for further review?
I have nothing further. Just appreciate the opportunity to present the bill to the committee.
Thank you. Okay, we'll go ahead and set this bill aside for further review. That concludes today's working schedule. We're posted to have bills previously heard both Wednesday and Friday. We'll keep the committee members posted. The time is 2:20, and this meeting is adjourned.